In terrorism, is it only over when the fat jihadi sings? Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Russell, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to Quick Hits, short podcasts about national security. I've got a funny feeling that I've talked about this an awful lot in the past, so I apologize for being a little repetitive in this regard. But it's an issue that keeps coming up time and time again, especially most recently, and it has to do with terrorist groups and their longevity. Now, I recall reading an article some years ago, I forget exactly where or by whom and who did the research and who did the writing, but it seemed to suggest to me that your average terrorist group, and I'm meaning average, across different ideologies, across different capabilities, but your average terrorist group seemed to survive somewhere between 1 and 2 years. Again, I don't know where the data came from. I'm not sure how you define the longevity of a terrorist group. But it's an issue that keeps coming to the fore. And I'm going to start with and focus today on Somalia. So for those who haven't followed Somalia like I have for the past, 20 years or so, there's been a terrorist group called Al-Shabaab. It was created in late 2005, early 2006. It was a consequence of the Ethiopian decision to invade Somalia back then when the country was basically a shithole when it comes to security. And Al-Shabaab was an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group, and they essentially rose to try to beat back the Ethiopian defenders and their American allies who were probably providing air support at the time. The Somali government, or Somali governments, over the past 15 years or so, have been trying to beat back Al-Shabaab. Al-Shabaab has been responsible for tens of thousands of deaths, not just in Somalia, but in neighboring Uganda, and especially in northeastern Kenya, where there's a fairly large Somali minority, as well as a lot of Somali refugees who've been living in that country because of a variety of issues like droughts, insecurity, etc., etc. And most recently, the new Somali government claims it is winning the war against Al-Shabaab, and it's only a matter of time. And most recently, it has actually put forward a quote-unquote number of strategies that would help the country secure itself in the long term and essentially get rid of Al-Shabaab. And the same government has claimed that they have killed more than 3,000 Al-Shabaab terrorists during the first phase of this new campaign. Now, that's a lot of terrorists to kill. I don't know what Al-Shabaab's strength is, but 3,000 terrorists aren't easy to replace. So one would think that if this information is correct, that Al-Shabaab should pretty well be on the downside in Somalia. And maybe, in fact, the government is achieving its goal and will, in fact, be able to eradicate the group sooner rather than later. But is that true? Well, not surprising. I'm going to push back a little bit against this, and I'll explain why. But let's start with some other facts here. This is reporting on the 30th of May, so today, saying that Al-Shabaab had attacked one of the Somali National Army bases in central Galgaduud region. The army claims that they beat them back. We'll see if that's actually true. More importantly, an Al-Shabaab attack took place recently on May the 26th in Lower Shabelle against Ugandan troops. Now, Uganda is part of an African Union mission trying to help Somalia beat back Al-Shabaab. There's forces from Kenya, there's forces from other African countries. And in this attack, Al-Shabaab mustered 800 terrorists. And they basically defeated the Ugandan, convoy, deployment, whatever you want to call it, in this camp, killing at least 50 Ugandan soldiers. Now, Al-Shabaab claims it killed 137. Again, they say that, truth is the first casualty of war, the fog of war, etc., etc. Who knows how many people were actually killed in this regard? But this turns out to be a real embarrassment for the Ugandan government, and President Museveni, he wants answers as to why the hell Ugandan troops allowed themselves to A, be attacked by Somalia, and B, didn't fight back, resulting in so many casualties. What does all this mean? Well, what it means is that when we listen to statements by the Somali president that al-Shabaab is on the wane, that they're in a retreat, that the government and its forces are able to kill hundreds and thousands of al-Shabaab terrorists in a particular time period, we really might want to take those words with a grain of salt. I understand why presidents and prime ministers and kings and autocrats and dictators and fill-in-the-blank leader of a country come out with these statements. They need to raise the population's confidence when it comes to anti-terrorism operations. They need to try to convince people that an end is in sight, that things will return to the status quo ante, that peace will be ubiquitous, the country will prosper, etc., etc., etc. And yet I find that in countries like Somalia or Nigeria or Mozambique or Pakistan, or fill in lots of blanks there, these government promises and statements aren't quite as true as they seem to be on the surface. In other words, the terrorist groups seem to be hanging on. They're not at death's door. They're not on the verge of being defeated. They will continue to wreak havoc, to kill, to maim, to rape, to pillage, to cause unrest and insecurity and instability in the country. Now, their actions may ebb and flow. They may reach high points and low points. But my reading of Somali news on a daily basis seems to suggest to me that al-Shabaab is carrying out attacks on, if not a daily basis, then several times per week. And most of those attacks are actually successful. Yes, the Somali National Army is also carrying out counterattacks and killing al-Shabaab terrorists during these confrontations, and maybe preventing some attacks as well. But I still keep reading about suicide bombs in Mogadishu and other parts of Somalia. And then this attack by 800 al-Shabaab terrorists against a Ugandan military camp. This is big stuff, guys. This is almost takes it out of the realm of terrorism and puts it into the realm of warfare when a terrorist group can send 800 of its warriors, which is what they call themselves, against a well-entrenched army. That doesn't bode well for the future. What is my advice to you? My advice to you, as it has been since day one in these podcasts, is to treat the information that you're exposed to, that you uncover in your whatever weekly, daily reading of online material or whatever your sources are, to be very careful with what you believe. Don't take governments at their word. Well, that should be a non-starter. I think most people already are skeptical of what governments tell them. But when you come across reporting by governments in East Africa, West Africa, Asia, Middle East, whatever, who make these bold claims that terrorism is on its way out, you might want to set your judgment aside and actually get to what the facts are saying. Look at what is happening from multiple sources, corroborate it from multiple sources if you can, so that you get a better picture as to what the state of terrorism is. You can make up your own minds on what the near to medium to long-term trends might be when it comes to terrorist group X, Y, or Z, like al-Shabaab in Somalia. Just a humble suggestion from me, somebody who spent 32 years in intelligence and tried to get the best information possible to decision makers so they could help make better decisions. Do what you want, but when it comes to terrorism, my initial reaction to claims that terrorist groups are on the way out tends to be one of, let's see what the evidence says. Anyhow, that's what I think. Curious what your views are on this, whether it's on al-Shabaab in Somalia or Islamic State West African Province in Nigeria, or Islamic State East African Province in Mozambique, or Islamic State Khorasan Province in Afghanistan. The list goes on and on and on. You can reach me at borealisrisk@gmail.com or on Twitter at borealissaves. I also have accounts on LinkedIn and on Facebook. If you like the content and want to get more of it, please go to the website borealisthreatandrisk.com. Hit the subscribe button. It's free of charge. Love to hear your ideas for other podcasts, maybe other guests to interview. We'll talk again soon. Until then, take care.